can be found on page 1035 in the Pew Bibles and on page 1827 in the large print Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. The wise and foolish builders. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As we stand a prayer, Lord, may your word be a light unto our feet, our thinking, and so our living, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I won't ask you when you last read 1 Kings 22, perhaps not recently, if ever. So can I suggest you open your Bibles to page 365. I'm going to try and simplify what's written there to help your understanding. When our first Old Testament reading was read, we did a remarkable thing. At the end of a reading, we said, "This is the word of the Lord." And I hope you did say, "Thanks be to God." Do you sense it was a word of the Lord to you? The history we're looking at confronts me personally. It puts a spotlight on my attitude to the word of the Lord. I guess it may do the same to you as well. And we are this morning forced to ask ourselves, is God worth listening to? So often we don't listen, and that has a big knock-on effect in our lives. I've been ordained 30 years now, and again and again people come to see me about pastoral issues, personal issues. And they know what the Lord has said, they won't do it. They ignore the word of the Lord. And there may be people here who are not yet wholehearted Christian believers. The Bible talks about hell. And there are many in life who are excited by the word of God on one level, but ultimately they never heed it, which is extremely dangerous. Well, let's look at this story. First, two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Israel had fought against Aram, but Ahab, in disobedience to God's command, had spared the life of the king of Aram. Yes, Ahab was a good general, but he was apostate. He'd ignored the word of God. And yes, verse 1 of chapter 22, peace held in Ramoth Gilead. But Ramoth Gilead and the nation were not as they should be. Ramoth Gilead belonged to the people of Israel, but hadn't been returned to them as it should have been. It was God's gift to them. So verse 4, Ahab asked Jehoshaphat for help. He wasn't that powerful. He's just two tribes. And Jehoshaphat, with great magnanimity, says, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. But he went on, verse 5, but first seek the counsel of the Lord. So the king of Israel, we're told, brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. Now Ahab wanted the word of God to endorse what he'd made his mind up about already. And the false prophets all say, go for it. But Jehoshaphat is a godly king, and they're uneasy. He wants a second opinion. Is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesied anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micah, son of Imla. And Jehoshaphat said, you shouldn't say that, Ahab. Well, the officials are brought in and they go and get Micaiah, the prophet, to see what he has to say. And these two kings are sitting at the threshing floor on their thrones by the gate of Samaria. And they look like they're in charge, but actually God is overruling in every area. And what's happening is that despite the word of the Lord which comes, Ahab has closed his ears to the word of God. It's funny what you see in the village, isn't it? I was outside the post office. I've got to get some stamps. As I came out of the door, there's a mother with two young children, I guess probably about 7 and 9. And the mother gave an instruction to one of these little girls, and the little girl did this. Fingers in ears. I'm not going to listen to you, Mum. I'm going to block off anything you're saying. It's rather sweet, actually. I thought I was going to get a sermon illustration for today when I saw that this last week. But aren't we softened like that? We block our ears to the word of God. And that's what Ahab was doing. And actually, friends, there may be somebody here, and the Bible says forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Are you forgiving somebody who perhaps hurt or harmed you in some way? Perhaps some have parents alive. Are we honouring our parents? The whole area of relationships and marriage and sex, do we listen to what God says on those issues? So easy to put our fingers over our ears, to block off what God says. There's a war in America. It's either called the war between the states, but if you come from the southern states, you might call it the war of Yankee aggression. And George Washington one day was approached by a woman during that war, and she said this to Washington, Mr. Washington, I'm sure God's on our side. And George Washington replied like this, Madam, I'm much more concerned we're on God's side. Are you concerned to be on God's side, to hear his truth? Ahab knew the truth but didn't like it. And the New Testament puts it very boldly, Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men and women who suppress the truth by their wickedness. We close our ears to what God is saying. And actually, we do that quite often. Seeking advice, we go to friends for advice who are most likely to agree with us. Two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Two prophets. There's Micaiah, son of Imla, a lone voice, and Zedekiah. And Zedekiah is actually a very entertaining speaker. He puts horns on. He says, you're going to gore. You'll gore those enemy, those Arameans, with these horns. You'll destroy them. You gore till they're destroyed, he said. And 400 others take that view. Now, Ahab wanted to employ the prophets as agents of propaganda for him and the nation. Friends, you can't do that. God should be first. Hitler was so fed up with the leadership of the church in Germany, who spoke God's truth again and again, that he appointed his own bishops. And then there were brave men like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who formed the Confessing Church and stood up to that evil teaching which came in Nazism. They wanted to muzzle the truth of the church, but actually there were those who stood on the side of truth. China, the church caused such chaos to the Chinese state. They formed a state-controlled church because they wanted to muzzle the word of God. And the established church, which I'm glad to be a member of, it can sometimes be wheeled out, can't it, for royal weddings, for funerals, in times of disaster. And the danger is the leaders don't give the word of the Lord as it is. Even here at church, and you know, there's funerals most weeks here and there's weddings. I'm a chaplain to one of the old livery companies in London. And the livery companies, hundreds of years ago, meant to be groups of traders and workers, and skilled men, who were honouring Christ in their work. A great Christian foundation to these ancient livery companies. And yet, when I do a few services each year in St. Mark's Loft by Bank of England, for one I am a member of, very often, and there are in this livery company a lot of godly, committed Christian men and women, but also there are others who just like to have the chaplain wheeled out when a new master is being put into office, when it's a carol service, or some other occasion. We need to make sure if we're ordained or in the leadership of the church, then we don't just get sucked in. We need to preach the word of the Lord faithfully, even when it's painful. Because truth does not rest in majority opinion. Well, the story goes on. And what happens next is that the word of the Lord, true word, is ignored. All the other prophets are prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. Then comes Micaiah. And Micaiah says what we should all say. As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell only what the Lord tells me. So Micaiah is asked, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or shall I refrain? And you can hear the sarcasm in his voice, because he knows what Ahab's like. He says, attack and be victorious. The Lord will give it into the king's hand. And then the king doesn't like it. How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Ahab's uneasy, and Micaiah unpacks it. I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And what a terrible thing occurs. And Ahab says, doesn't it always the case that Micaiah preaches against me? And yet there is another ruler mentioned in verses 19 onwards, the throne of the Lord, where he reigns over everything, even the evil spirits and the machinations of government. See, God is not in the business of being deceived. Micah tells it as it is, but Ahab preferred lies. There's a funny change in the Bible reading, which Will read so well. Verse 29. Suddenly you have these words. So, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. That's a conjunction. So, it is the most extraordinary thing to do. It's not an obvious thing to do at all. But Ahab thinks he can hoodwink God. The king of Israel said, verse 30, to Jehoshaphat, I'll enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. And yet the king of Aram said, don't fight anyone except the king of Israel. And they saw Jehoshaphat and said, surely this is the king of Israel. And they turned to attack him. Then they realized they got the wrong person. Ahab thinks he can hoodwink God. You can't do that at all. It's like you and I, in our wrong thinking and sin, thinking, oh, I'll put on some dark glasses and a fake moustache and God won't see me. It's that ridiculous. But God sees everything. And so, what occurs? Well, it's a chilling story. Someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armour. The king told his chariot driver, wheel round and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. And he bled to death from that wound. He couldn't avoid God's word. God's word had been spoken. And actually that random shot is clear from that. But God's word can't be avoided. The Lord's word never misses its target. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him there. They washed a chariot at a pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathed. And the dogs licked up his blood as the word of the Lord had declared earlier. What is foundational for life and eternity is how we respond to the word of the Lord, the word of God. Isaiah chapter 40, all men are like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. It can't be broken. Or the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. After 1 Kings, if you take the whole sweep of the Bible, you discover it's no longer a battle that were between idols and the living God. No, it's a much more subtle conflict going on because false teachers come in to mislead the people of God. And the prophets bear witness to that very clearly. Then you go to the New Testament, and Jesus and the apostles again and again warn against not false prophets in the Old Testament sense, but against false teachers. And the Church of God, whatever our denomination, we need those who will teach the Word of God. You need to check, is what I'm hearing what the written Word says? As I survey the country, when I think about the state of our nation, indeed the Church of England, the true teacher, the true prophet, I need to remind myself, will rarely be part of the establishment. His message or her message will be not comfortable. And yes, it will all too often be ignored. May we heed the word of the Lord, which will never pass away, wherever we need to do that this week. Amen.
Amen.